Good morning and welcome to Viewpoint on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. I'm Tony Savino. This past Tuesday night, Greenwich First Selectman Fred Camillo and Superintendent of Schools Dr. Tony Jones presented their capital and operating budgets to the Board of Estimate and Taxation's Budget Committee. On Viewpoint this morning, we'll replay the entire presentation by the First Selectman, and next week we'll replay the Superintendent's presentation. We start off with an introduction to the meeting from BET Budget Committee Chair Leslie Tarkington.
Good evening, and welcome to the Board of Estimate and Taxation Budget Committee's Fiscal Year 2025-2026 Budget Presentations and Public Hearing. I am Leslie Tarkington, the Chair, and on my left are Leslie Moriarty and Harry Fisher, and on my right, David Weisbrod. Thank you for your interest in the Town of Greenwich Fiscal Year 2025-2026 Budget, and for attending this evening's meeting in person or by watching the presentations and public hearing on Greenwich Community Television channels 24, 79, or YouTube. Thank you to the GCTV team, Horst Tebby and Don Conway. And so now I'll comment on a few housekeeping items. We have here tonight our fire marshal, Chris Froelich, and police officer Ryan Carino, and they're in the building with us, and there's another officer outside. And our fire marshal requests that there be no standing in this room. Additional seating, if we, get to capacity, is in the cone room on the second floor. And the meeting is live streamed in the cone room, so if you need to be there, you can. And if you are here for pickleball, please read the memo on the sign on the table, and there's some memos over there. The BET has funded pickleball, both the pickleball courts at the Old Greenwich Civic Center, as well as the lighting, and the Parks and Rec Department are working with the pickleball people to make sure that the right dimensions and all the other issues that changed in 2024. Tonight's meeting will begin with the town presentation, followed by the Board of Education schools presentation, and then the public hearing. For the public hearing, speakers will be called on in the order they signed to speak. Each speaker has a maximum of 3 minutes. Comments received by completing the form linked to the agenda will be posted on the Budget Committee webpage. The department meeting process begins next Tuesday, February 4th. Meeting dates are provided in the BET calendar section of the town website, as well as the budget schedule section with suggested department meeting dates. Fiscal year 26 budget meeting days and time schedules are approximate and subject to change due to changes in department availability or to length of department reviews, and also adjusted for snow days when the town hall is closed. These meetings are also televised live by GCTV. The committee welcomes your attendance in the town hall meeting room or GCTV for these meetings. We meet 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. for 6 department meeting days, a consolidation day, and a budget decision day on March 4, which are 8 days in total. The budget committee decision is followed by 2 BET public hearings on March 26, which is for the schools, and another public hearing on March 27th, which is the Town of Greenwich non-schools, and then the final BET decision day on April 1st. So at this point, the Budget Committee welcomes our first selectman, Fred Camillo, to present the town's fiscal year 2026 operating and capital budget.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good evening, everybody. Welcome to Town Hall for this budget presentation. Before I get going, I would like to thank all of the department heads who have worked on this with their teams. It's a 12-month endeavor. It's not just a few months. I also want to thank our new town administrator and COO, Kate Bush, who it's hard to believe has only been here a few months, has hit the ground running, and coming on the heels of Ben Brannion, it's been a perfect transition, so town has been really blessed to have you here. And, of course, Wendy Zhao, who put this together, is always is instrumental in everything that goes on in the Office of First Selectmen. So we thank Wendy. And the BET, the Budget Committee, thank you so much for you two work 12 months a year on this, and it's truly appreciated. And the RTM, especially the RTM committees that deal with the budget, It's greatly appreciated. Those people do it for free, and so it's one of those things that makes Greenwich Greenwich. And the Board of Education will follow after this, but I want to thank the Board of Education for putting in all of their work. It's much appreciated. And we'll get going. This is the outline of the presentation. You have the BET guidelines, the capital budget, the operating budget, headcount, and summary. Okay, the guideline highlights. We continue programming and services. Capital projects at $50 million for fiscal year 20, $350 through 26 to 30. The mill rate increase, is the guideline is 3.95. We almost hit it. Estimated budget increases without benefits, 2.96 for the BOE, 2.93 for the town. And I believe, what we were saying before, I believe this is the first time we were a little bit south, north of it, but it was a tough year, but we expect it will come down a little bit more. General overview, governed by Article 2, Section 21B of the Town Charter, the First Selectman shall develop goals and objectives and establish priorities for spending for the ensuing fiscal year. Establish priorities with respect to recommended capital spending for all town agencies and develop a long-range capital spending plan. This is a revitalized CIP process. About 5 years ago, we sat down in my administration and we thought that the 15-year one was a little bit cumbersome and really hard to pin down on anything. It didn't provide that level of certainty. We found that the five-year capital has really worked much better. And that said, things change. We have to reprioritize all the time. You know, when there's something that fails a building, things have to get reprioritized. So it's an ongoing process, but we feel that this five-year plan certainly with a focus on year one, those four out years do really help. The capital plan reflects the First Selectman's priorities over the next 5 years. Prior capital plans have helped develop the proposed long-range capital spending plans that you see tonight. This just shows this graph, $400 million over the next 5 years. You can see that the town is in green and the Board of Ed is in blue. And it just shows you, if you look at this, how difficult it is to meet the guidelines. And the guidelines are fair, but when you have one project that's $50 million, right, things that you may wanted to get done has to be rearranged a little bit. But we kind of measure what we like to have with what we need to have, and I think this reflects that. Fiscal year 26 capital budget. The plan includes annual investments in the town's infrastructure. Here's a few highlights. Annual paving, $3.5 million. Highway maintenance, $2 million. Stormwater drainage, $750. This is something that you're going to see for the rest of our lives. It's flood mitigation is something that's present in every town. Greenwich is no exception. So each year, you'll see a line item there. The public safety complex garage coating is $1.35 million. That building's about 20 years old, and so that has to protect hundreds of thousands of dollars in vehicles. Also, the forensics garage is underneath that. That area needs to stay dry, so that is coming due. GFD, Fire Department Breathing Apparatus, $1.2 million. The leaf blowers, this is something that the RTM passed last year, and so we have to comply with it. And that $600,000, $400,000 is going to be earmarked for the Parks and Recreation Department and $200,000 to DPW. Replacement of the town's telephone system, $550,000, and multiple ongoing ADA compliance projects. Everything we do now is going to be ADA compliant, but also inclusive. It's not something only that we have to do. It's something that we want to do. School renovation projects, you see JC's there for $2.6 million, Ham Ave, $2 million, and Riverside School this year is $2 million, to be followed by $48 million next year. The Shore Road sidewalk, this is a feel-good story. I see Kristen over there. I want to thank you, and I don't know if Maggie Bound is in the room. But a couple of years ago, Maggie had reached out to me about getting a sidewalk there, and I just explained to her that it's a great idea, but usually neighbors end up fighting over it at the end of the day. And Maggie was undeterred, and she enlisted the help of Kristen and an army of residents over there in OG, and they had many meetings and meet and greets and walks. I participated in several of them. And make a long story short, they got the 75% threshold that DPW put out there, so they went forward. And if you ever go through OG in the morning, you'll see lots of parents walking to school or riding their bikes with their kids, and they're utilizing that sidewalk. And so that was 750 in phase one. So fiscal year 26, we have 1.25 for phase two. And again, this is something we encourage people to have active lifestyles, whether it's hiking, biking, just walking around your neighborhoods. But we want you to do so safely. And so that's why you see a lot of emphasis in the administration on pedestrian and public safety, and this is part of it. But we had really great willing participants over there in OG, so hats off to them. This is, again, I mentioned before, the public safety complex garage coating, $1.3 million. Again, this is at the end of its useful life. We have the replacement of the deteriorated metal exterior stairwell. Again, underneath this garage, underneath this surface, is hundreds of thousands of dollars in public safety vehicles, as well as a forensics garage. So that area absolutely needs to stay dry. Also, we have I forgot to mention, there was a couple of other projects where maintenance is going to be really important over the replacement of the drain culvert over at Deerfield Drive and Grove Lane is one. The library parking garage is another. The Board of Ed's parking lot is another. So these things have to be maintained. Otherwise, you're going to wait too long, and it's going to cost us a lot more money. Thanks. I put this one in here because this is the one that's one of the more frustrating ones for me. There's probably people in this room that were not here when I first put this in 2020. Roger Sherman Baldwin Park has the teen center, and the teen center is between the park and a garage that houses a parks and rec operation. And that is arguably some of the most expensive land, not only in Greenwich, probably, but in the country. And we're parking trucks there and changing oil. So the idea, we put out an RFP several years ago. That, I wish I had a better rendering of that, but if you look at where that green space is there, right near where the Island Beach boats are, that shows you what it could look like, right? And we there's trails there. There's more green space. It's just a beautiful rendering of what could be. This waterfront property is underutilized. And what's holding this up? We have to relocate the Parks and Rec operation. And Joe Siciliano, our director, is over there. Has been working really hard for 5 years. And we've finally settled on the transfer station, or if you were born and raised here, the dump, which has to be reconfigured anyway. Going back into the 1980s, they were talking about redoing the transfer station for lots of reasons. But that's a big price tag. And so if we can get that funded, what I can tell you is the $10 million that's slated here for construction of relocation of the parks building and a redesign of the park, we've got three foundations already, three. And we reached out to two, one reached out to us, that wants to help pay for this. But we can't get to this until we get the funding for reconfiguration of the transfer station. I'll get to this possibly looking into grants and help from the federal government in a little bit. But we're going to really try our best to try and get money over there for that, because if you keep looking at what a shame to have to be in a town that's on the waterfront, and yet you have your really low boys and pickup trucks there. And you know, and I had a low boy and I had a pickup truck for most of my life, and nothing against that, but you don't want them parked on the water. So I'm going to continue to push this, and hopefully we'll find some funding to do that relocation. Greenwich Cove channel dredging, $1.5 million. The silt decreases the average depths about 4.5 feet at low tide. Removal and disposal of approximately 20,560 cubic yards of sediment. The shoreline is really one of our greatest assets, and we have to keep up with it. And there's a lot of permits that are going to be expiring soon, and we're going to have to reapply for them. Makes the cost of this considerably more expensive. So as the old commercial, whoever is old enough to remember, used to say, you could pay me now or you could pay me later. Let's get this done. The Wallace Center interior upgrade, another feel-good. The state of Mary Louise Wallace donated $1.32 million for the rehabilitation of the ground and first floor restrooms, activity rooms, administrative offices, outside the ADA access ramp, and the new kitchen and dining room this year. And then in 25 to 27, $2.89 million for the remaining interior renovation and infrastructure upgrades, including a chiller replacement. I don't know if people have been in that new cafe, but it's beautiful. Well, several of us have been in there. They love it. And that building, which is the old town hall, which used to have a jail in it, it used to have a court in there. I know a few people that actually were attorneys that worked in that building. But I'm not old enough to have been in either one of them, so don't disabuse you of any thoughts there. But it really is a historic building. The outside looks beautiful. The inside's been hurting for years, so it's starting to get much better. God bless you. And another bit of good news here is I was in a meeting a few weeks ago, and there will be another significant donation coming for a little bit more of the interior and the outside courtyard, so people can go out there and utilize it and eat and maybe listen to lectures. So lots of good news on the way there, and we thank the estate of Mary Louise Wallace and the soon-to-be to the family that's going to be donating more money to really, again, enhance that what is a beautiful landmark in Greenwich. JC Elementary School, $1 million for the front entrance ADA compliance, for ADA compliance and inclusion, and then $2.61 for the funding to renovate the current undersized cafeteria. And if you've been in that cafeteria, it's small, and it's time. So another beautiful school that needs a little bit of work there. Ham Ave parking lot, $2 million for the repair of the parking structure, including the upper level and lower level garage, which includes topping slab and membrane removal and replacement. Riverside, you'll see $2 million this year for A&E work, architectural and engineering, and then the big one, $48 million for construction in fiscal year 27. Apologize. And this just shows the capital pressure on the budget. Notice the debt service. The decision to fund projects, which we have to do, has a direct impact to the operating budgets of the future. Now we go on to the operating budget. You see town services there, 3.11. Dr. Jones will get to the education after that. Total 4.22 change. Capital tax levy, we added $3 million. And then if you look at the bottom, 4.33% change. They come very close to the guidelines, just a little bit above, but I'm sure my friends to my right are going to work on that. Charter language, annual budget. Governed by Article 2, Section 21B of the Town Charter, the First Selectman shall review all proposed budgets received and shall make such revisions and modifications in such proposed budgets as the First Selectman deems necessary or appropriate, except for the operations of the budget submitted by the Board of Ed. We still get emails all the time yelling at me for spending too much or too little on the Board of Ed. So as much as I like Dr. Jones, I'm going to push that off to you. FY budget 26 budget summary, town services. So you look at general government, 3.87. Those increases come from finance for increased banking fees and software rental, and from IT for increased cybersecurity costs. Fire increases due to the overtime, which is related to the shifting of the fire department floater positions into a much-needed operational and support role while respecting the zero headcount increase. And then go down the rest. Fleet, you see a little bit of a decrease there. That's because of the lower price of gasoline. The rest of the lines there, thank you to those departments, they are fairly low. And then finally, 3.11 change. These are the fixed charges. So if you look at healthcare at the top line there, after this budget was submitted, we got news that it's going up a little bit. So that's going to be 11, a change of 11% there. You look at the second line, the 20.79% change there. The good news is that more revenue coming in. Bad news is if you're an employee, you're paying a little bit more for that money. But certainly those benefits are still very, very good compared to most. The pension contribution decreases due to a decrease in the actuarially determined funding level. If you look at Nathaniel Witherell in the school lunch there, you see a big number there, 2.7. I don't have all the details for the Board of Ed. They'll talk to that. I did speak with Nathaniel Witherell again today about this, and it really wasn't too much on their end, but they, as of January 31st, they're going to be revamping their food service delivery, and they're going to have an anticipated weekly decrease of savings of $6,000 a week. So good for them, and hats off to John Mastronardi and the group there for working on that. And that total is 4.09%. Budget summary, revenue, use of fund balance, zero. And you look at all the rest of it, and there, the main thing there that everybody's looking at is the last one, right? 4.33% change. Oh, and also, just to know, after the submission of this budget, Planning and Zoning let us know that due to an increase in fees that we should be getting another $250,000 that will show up later in this, to the good. Headcount. Okay. Basically, the long and short of it is we're adding 0.6, not even one full-time employee. We're taking two part-time positions, planning and zoning and wetlands, and making them full-time. Why? Because we want them out in the field doing inspections. It's hard for them to get out there. This provides more service to the town and more revenue to the town. So at the end of the day, that's it's not even one full-time position. Fiscal 26 headcount. So remember last year I had proposed cutting the headcount by 6, but I was adding two positions, and one of them was a position for somebody to go out, a grants coordinator. And normally I get very upset, not upset, but I get a little frustrated with my colleagues when they say no to me. But I'm glad they said no on this one last year, because we're going to go to a different way of looking at, you know, funding positions whenever and wherever possible. So instead of adding a headcount for a grants coordinator, I reached out and spoke with other towns and looked into it. We're going to put in for a consultant. And so at the end of the year, we can look at the end of the year and see if we paid what did they produce? If it's not a lot, you know, if we paid $80,000 or $60,000, you can see and measure what they brought in. It does not add any fringe benefits, any retirement, no headcount at all. And the first selectmen and mayors that I've spoken to, and there's even some over in New York, very happy with that arrangement. So wherever and whenever we can, I think this is probably the way of the future, and we'll see. It's very important, I believe, to have this position, because there's so many grants out there, and we don't hit them all. And Tyler Fairburn, who is in our community development office, that's not his job. His job is really community development, block grant stuff. And I send stuff up over to him weekly, and he adds it on top of his workload, never complains. It's a lot of work. And just coming into work like 6 months ago, I heard on, I think it was WINS radio, about a program, a federal grant that I never knew about, no one ever heard about. So having somebody there looking, watching out for us, for the residents, for the taxpayers, I think will be huge. We'll see, and we'll be able to judge next year whether it worked or not. So hopefully that will pass. But we want to continue to be really observant and respectful of the BET's guidelines when it comes to headcount. Summary. So if you look there, the town just went over just a little bit, $245,000. The next line, Dr. Jones will get to. Capital tax levy stayed the same. So ultimately, it was a $2.7 million difference. And if you go, the guidelines here, use of fund balance, zero. Basically, everything is with, you know, the $2.7 million, as I just mentioned. The important thing there is the mill rate, which people look at. So it goes up 0.087%. Now, Greenwich, for all intents and purposes, that's the lowest in Connecticut. There is one town, I think it's Salisbury, that's a little bit lower, but they have about 5,000 people. They don't have our responsibilities. They don't have all of the services that we provide. So you live in a town, really, that does a great job, and it's thanks to our volunteers who are in this room, some who are not here watching, to our department heads, to our staff, and to you for advocating and also supporting these budgets. But at the end of the day, we are a town that has almost 30% of our population that fits into the ALICE category, which is asset limited, income constrained, and employed, meaning they work, but they don't make that much money. That's almost a third. Think about that. So we want to make sure that they're able to live here too. And I don't know if it's about 25% of our kids in public school are on free and reduced lunch. So we have to make sure that we remember that. But also, we want to move the ball forward on projects that are good for the community and that the community wants. And so that's why the administration continues to look at public-private partnerships. We'll continue to do that wherever and whenever and wherever possible. And we thank all of those great partners in the community, whether they're people or foundations, who have come forward to help us. And you heard about a few tonight. So the summary, the operating budget is services for our community, long-range capital budget, getting projects done that are important to the community, and the mill rate recognizes the impact of property taxes on all our residents. And we just give an example there every year. Taxpayer with a $1 million assessed home value will see a $550 increase in your property taxes. And that's it. Again, thank you so much for being here tonight. Enjoy the rest of your night, and God bless.
And again, next week on Viewpoint, Superintendent of Schools Dr. Tony Jones' full budget presentation. Thanks to Don Conway and Channel 79 for airing the event. And that'll do it for another edition of Viewpoint on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. Thanks for joining me. I'm Tony Savino.